Okay, we're all set. Levels are set. Music is ready. Host certainly is ready. All right, cool. All right, don't forget your three S's, Jim. Star, smile, strong. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. As we are now in the midst of 116. Episode 116. If you go on my landing page, you will find all previous 115 episodes. But here we are at 116. Wow. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Got a couple of things I want to speak to you about today in this podcast. First of all, thank you so much for whatever it is you do, clicking around, downloading, I don't know, whatever it is, you found the podcast and it's much appreciated. And thank you for your continued support and your continued nice comments about the podcast. Best way to communicate with me is through my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook page, and it's Jim Toronto, T-U-R-A-N-O. And I also post a link to the podcast on my Facebook page. I know some people go to other sources, but you can always find it on my Facebook page as well, if not going to WGNplus.com or iTunes or other places. But we're multi-platform, if you will. Anyway, so I wanted to talk to you today. It's kind of a twofold episode or topic. You know how I love the millennials. I love the millennials. I've got a godson who's a millennial. So I am steeped in millennial culture. But, you know, it is my job to point out things that aren't always pointed out. I'll never forget, and I've mentioned this a few times, about 20 years ago maybe, Gen X was the big generation that was dominating all of our tastes. And I was working in public relations at the time. And so, you know, we're dealing with, you know, in the marketing and public relations, we're dealing with audiences. And I just remember at the beginning of this kind of Generation X mania that was taking place, and it was creeping into the media in different stories as that generation began to come of age and became, I guess, you know, become of age really means to the business world when they start to have their own income, or at least income that they can control, which in many ways is their parents early on. But certainly when they enter the workforce and they get jobs, any generation, that's when the business world begins to take notice of a specific generation. Of course, then you will start to hear and see more catering and attention to whatever that group has been named. And all this naming of generations really started in the baby boom years after World War II, when because so many men here in the United States and around the world, but most things, especially at that time, revolved around the United States. Right after World War II, we were a huge, huge influence on the rest of the world. And So it made sense. Soldiers were gone for 4 or 5 years. And when they came home, let's just say they were happy to see their wives and vice versa. And so, yes, there were quite a few babies born between the end of the war, say in 45, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, certainly. And there was a baby boom, and thus the baby boomers. Now, as I said, I have a qualm with the designation of the entire baby boomer generation, because the term referred to that specific time after World War II in the mid-40s when men were coming back from the war and babies were being born at a pretty good clip, at a huge clip. And so that time was called the baby boomer time. But then, you know, they like to, whether it's sociologists or marketing people, that's who the they is here, group generations by, you know, 20 years or so, 20 to 25 years, 15 to 20 years. And so, yes, when the baby boom generation started in 1945, when the war ended, then you add 20 to that and you say, okay, well, the baby boomer generation is 1945 to 1965. Well, you know, that sounds nice if you want to use this 20-year span as as your dividing rod, but it doesn't really make sense in real terms, because the whole idea is that this generation kind of all thinks together. That's the whole idea. There's this generation, there's that generation. And don't forget then, after the baby boomers were given a designation and the Generation Xers were given a designation, then, of course, the other generation that was still around that didn't have a name up to that point was a generation pre-baby boomers. And so I don't know if it was Tom Brokaw or not, but it was called the greatest generation. And that term was given that label because they won World War II, mostly. It was kind of a delayed designation, but it was there nonetheless. So you had the greatest generation. I assume that starts in 1925 and then goes to 1945. And then baby boomers, 45 to 65, Gen X, 65 to 85, and now millennials, 85 to 2005. And now I don't know if it's Generation Z. I'm not really sure what they're designating the next one after the millennials, because right now the millennials are the key ones. And they've been in and look, these are no hard and fast rules, but I guess I have a qualm because I'm in the baby boomer generation, and yet I was born, I'm at the very end of it. And that puts me at the same kind of mindset and viewpoints and either spending habits or interests or everything with people born in 1945, and that's just not true. I mean, I have some things in common with people born in 1945, but they're 69 or 70 years old, and I don't really have that much in common with them. I certainly have much more in common with people that are in Generation X, but according to my birth date, I am on the cusp of it. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm like the lost child. The years that I was born, really, because I think, like I said, the baby boomer generation really shouldn't spread to 1965. If you're going to go specific about what the baby boomer generation was, it should probably end at that far end, at maybe 1960. Maybe. That's 15 years after the war. Because there was a couple, you know, there's Korean War in there too. But still, but that's my cross to bear. But so right now we are in a millennial kind of world. No question about that. And so now, but as I said, I remember hearing all the Gen X stories and, oh, Gen X does this and Gen X does that. And we have to appeal to Gen X and Gen X and Gen X and Gen X. And that's all you were hearing. And now what's so funny is, do you hear anything about Gen X? I mean, 15 years ago, that's all you heard. 15, 20 years ago, that's all you heard was Generation X this, Generation X that. And I'm sure that that age group was feeling pretty full of itself. Their stories about them and what they were doing was the coolest thing. And boy, did Generation X go out of favor fast. At least it seemed like it did. And the millennials have just really taken over, and now we are in a millennial generation. Everything they do is cool and hip and trending and must be paid attention to. Oy, is all I have to say. And I have fun with it. Hey, every generation goes through that. It is not easy to have one time been the trendsetters and taste setters of the culture and then suddenly be cast aside. And some new group comes in and sets the trends, and they are inevitably going to be different than you. They are. That's exactly their point. They want to be different than you. Every generation rebels against the one before it. That's what gives them their identity. And so it only makes sense that a new generation would not look at life the same way the past one does. And those things that the one-time presiding generation who was leading the culture for 5, 10, 15 years holds sacred, holds important, has to be cast. They have to be cast aside by the next generation, because that is the nature of it. We always rebel against the one before. We want to be different. It wasn't always that way, in fact. I guess it always was. It wasn't as pronounced, certainly. I mean, there was a time, if you for many, 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 many years, for centuries, or certainly decades, when a younger generation had no say and had no sway in how things were thought of and how things were done. I mean, don't forget, there was a good time, there was a time for a good period of time as well, where, for instance, one of the phrases were, children are to be seen and not heard. Do you ever hear that phrase anymore? That was a popular phrase for a while. I remember that when I was growing up. You don't hear that anymore. And the baby boomer generation was the first one to really flex its muscles because it had the sheer numbers. Because of this baby boom, so many kids were born in a short period of time when the soldiers came home, that when they grew up, they had major buying power. And that major buying power in the corporate world is what, for the most part, does sway our culture. Hate to say it, folks. Don't know how altruistic you are, but cultures are driven by economics, not so much by philosophies, at least not anymore, at least not in the last 50, 60, 70 years. When that group, the baby boomer group, especially the true baby boomers that were born in the late 40s and early 50s and came to age in the early to mid 60s and early 70s, they did have a lot of power. A, they had power because of their numbers, and B, they really did have something to rebel against, and that was the Vietnam War. Because don't forget, we have to also remember that most people today forget, younger people don't even realize it, there was a draft. Now we have a volunteer army coming out of Vietnam. If there's one result that was positive about the Vietnam War, and there are not many, but if one positive result came out of it is that we decided to have an all-volunteer military as opposed to a draft. And the reason that that baby boomer generation was out in the streets protesting so vehemently was because their lives were at stake. This was not just philosophies. This was not just, this is the way I feel. Your life could end by the age of 18, and many, many lives did. And many people saw their friends get drafted and go to war and never come back, or saw their lives completely upended. I mean, think about it in today's world. Today, most kids don't even have a summer or part-time job. Could you imagine, because their parents have them focusing on school activities and other activities in order to boost their resumes to get into a college. There's a whole plan here. Well, could you imagine if there's a whole plan in place and then a war broke out? All those, in the old days, all those plans went by the wayside. If you were drafted, you went. And all those plans either could have been flushed down the drain or certainly put on hold for a while. So that's why those protests were so vehement and so passionate and so long. They didn't die out. Today we have a protest, we have a few marches, and then we seem to get complacent because it doesn't really feel like life and death. That was real. Life and death. And that's why those protests against the war started and were maintained and went on for more than 10 years until we finally pulled out of the Vietnam War in 1975. That was 10 years of protesting, folks. But there was 10 years of protesting because there was some real consequence. Life and death against your will. You were ordered to join the military. And if you didn't, you were arrested, or some people, you know, went to Canada, became draft dodgers, a whole other aspect and a whole other issue. So, yeah, major stuff there. But so here we are in the millennial age. And yes, any time you pick up a newspaper or a magazine, that word millennial is at least in one or two stories. And I'm not surprised, and that's fine. And I love to sit here and have fun with the millennials, because that's what I do. I mean, that's what, if you're looking for humor in the world, you try to find ironies and you try to find subjects to have fun with. And I like having fun with the millennials. And I always say to my godson, Patrick, I love you with all my heart and I hate everything you stand for, which of course is a joke, but that's the generations. And we always butt heads. As I said, it's not easy to pass the torch. But I do enjoy looking at millennial stories, and what I enjoy the most about them, especially millennial stories. I mean, there were some real differences a few years ago with Generation X and between the baby boomers. There were some real differences. What I find interesting now with the millennial generation is that basically they are, whether they know it or not, they're just basically looking back 30 years, sometimes 40, finding things that are cool and then rebranding and adopting them for themselves and calling them their own. Now, that's not fair. That's when I have a problem. If you want to be different, but don't take my stuff and repackage it and then claim it as your own. And I've talked about this before. That's basically what's happening. You know, the vinyl boom. Millennials are like, well, aren't, isn't, they're telling us who grew up with records, how cool records were. Well, I got news for you. They were around before you were born. I know how cool they were. I've got bins filled with them. You're not telling me anymore. So, you know, we used to call them records, not vinyl, by the way. Okay? Television shows. Everything's a reboot. Everything's a sequel now. They're robbing all of our old movies and our old television shows and casting new people and calling them their own. Hawaii Five-0, Magnum now, for the new season. Other shows from the 80s. Archie's, Riverdale. That's the Archie's comic. And, of course, music. One of the ones that I think is funny is this thing called Yacht Rock. My millennial godson, Patrick, turned me on to Yacht Rock. I said, what's Yacht Rock? And he goes, well, here, listen. And he pulls out a playlist, and it's all easy listening, soft rock songs from the 70s and early 80s. I said, Patrick, this is my music. What are you talking about, Yacht Rock? This is soft rock. Well, no, it's called Yacht Rock. No, well, you called it that. And I know all the words. I have all the records. You're not discovering something that didn't exist before. These are 40-year-old songs, and I've got them all, and I know all the words. But we will continue to hear about millennials for a few more years. And then I guess it's Generation Z is the next one, and I can't wait to see how the millennials handle that. Because this could be the first time in their lives where they are not the center of the universe. We could have some civil wars here, folks, at least culturally. I don't think the millennials are going to want to give up that easy. Because they've had it pretty good for most of their lives. So that'll be interesting in about 5 or 6 years to see what happens when the Generation Zs become the trendsetters. And millennials are pushed aside like the Generation Xers. And now the baby boomers. Baby boomers will still have some clout until they pass away in another 20 years, just because of their numbers. And millennials may too. But in terms of the temporary media and temporary attention, those Generation Zers, as soon as they become 18, 19, or 20, corporate America will be targeting them. And the millennials will be toward close to their 40s, and they won't be as attractive anymore to the demographics and the corporate world. And then you'll see. Very interesting to see how the millennials are going to handle that. But for now, millennials rule. Millennials are awesome. They are jam. So I found a few stories here, and here's the best part. So I found one story about how millennials are the largest age category in Cook County here in the Chicago, Illinois area, biggest county. Millennials are the largest age category in Cook County. And then I found another story about millennial tipping, which is what I want to talk about. And so I thought it was interesting. Though, when I'm reading the stories, now these are written by two different people, and they appeared about 2.5 weeks after each, in between each other, in the newspaper. And yet, in the first paragraph of each of these stories, written by different people, time in between, but here, when you talk about millennials, I guess this is the touchstone. One of the millennial touchstones. Story about millennials in the largest age category in Cook County starts with, you can mock them for their love of avocado toast, but there are more millennials than any other age group in Chicago and the Cook County suburbs. So the key phrase there is avocado toast, right? You can mock them for their avocado toast. So clearly, avocado toast is one of the millennial touchstones. All millennials love avocado toast. And you say, Jim, well, why do you say that? Because then a story about millennial tipping, written by a different one, was in the Chicago Tribune, and it was written by Tribune reporters. Next one came from a wire service, Bloomberg. So while it was in the Tribune, it was written by another, not even the Tribune staff, was just reprinted in the Tribune a few weeks after. This story begins, U.S. millennials are quick to whip out their wallets for pricey avocado toast. But when it comes to rewarding the waiters who serve them, those wallets often stay closed. Avocado toast. If you talk about millennials, apparently, you got to talk about avocado toast. And it's not bad, but I found that interesting. Two stories about millennials written by different people, different news services, different topics. But when it came to describing the millennial generation, one thing in common, avocado toast. So what I'd like to talk about here is millennial tipping. Apparently, the millennials who love to go out, big social animals, love to go out in packs, love to go out in groups, love to go out to eat, take pictures of their beers, take pictures of their meals, take pictures of their groups all together at a bar or at an event at Lollapalooza, you name it. Love to go out. Love to eat out. Love to drink out. Yes, go out. Be out. Out, out, out. Out and about. But apparently, they don't really tip very well. According to this story, 10% of millennials don't tip at all when they go out to dinner. They don't leave a tip at all. 10%. That's pretty significant. And the average tip that they leave, if they do leave a tip, is 15% or under. Now, that's pretty low. At this point, most people are leaving 20% tips on meals especially. But it looks like those millennials are leaving at least 15% or lower. And that's across the board. That's for everything. That's for dining out. That's at bars. That's what they leave at the tip counter for the barista. They are not tipping at all. Or if they do tip, they're tipping below the average. Now, what I find interesting there is most of the servers are millennials. So come on, guys. You got to help your own. That's the whole idea of a generation. Come on, come on. Let's stick together. That's the song. So not only are millennials a little tight-fisted, but they're not even helping their own. A lot of disposable income, at least it seems like it, but they're not disposing it on others. They're disposing it on themselves. And look, the whole tipping thing is certainly a topic that you can always go into. The need for it. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, why should we leave tips, and, you know, restaurants should pay people and we wouldn't have to tip. But you have to remember that the whole tipping gratuity concept is based on that restaurant wanting to make sure that their wait staff doesn't get complacent, because the service you get many times determines whether you will be a repeat customer. So if the wait staff is not motivated or incented to perform well, they may get complacent if they got a straight salary. And so many ways, the restaurant, you may say, well, they're being cheap. Well, no, they're not being cheap. I guess they're just playing into human nature. And they're afraid that their reputations will be hurt Their future business will be hurt if the waitstaff does not deliver top-notch service. And the way to motivate, or to at least hopefully ensure that they give that service, is because the money that they get from that table will depend on the service they gave, not some predetermined money that they're going to get from their boss if they weren't working on a gratuity system. So I can understand that from the business, you know, the restaurant standpoint. It makes sure that the wait staff, which does play a part in the overall success of the company in terms of its reputation. How many times do you say, oh, food was great, but service was terrible? Well, that's what the gratuity system deals with. Now, I do have a problem and a bone to pick with people. I mean, nowadays, there is a tip jar everywhere. And I understand the concept of the tip jar, but it's everywhere, folks. Some places, I mean, I don't know if the tip jar, should the tip jar really be at the ice cream shop? That's your job, to scoop me ice cream. Now, I understand the people that work there say, hey, we'll put a jar out here, and if people have an extra dime or quarter, they want to throw it in there, fine. But I don't think, I mean, I don't know if they're going for, you know, the idea of at a restaurant, the gratuity is you're with that waiter or that waitress, your server, for a good hour and a half or 2 hours. There's a lot of different components to your service during a meal. There's the order taking, there's the speed, there's the knowledge of the menu. There's the frequent visits to make sure everything's okay. There's time invested there. But if you're scooping ice cream, or if you're a barista, that's your job. You're supposed to make the coffee and bring it to me. And especially at a place like Starbucks, it's already overpriced. Now I got to throw this person an extra two? I mean, how am I supposed to get my coffee? It's not self-service. So that's your job. So there, I am a little leery of the tip jar. And like I said, now the tip jar is everywhere. It's at places it shouldn't be. And you say, well, Jim, what about a bartender? Don't you trip your bartender? Well, isn't that the same thing as a barista? Once again, no, it isn't. I don't believe it is, because most of the time when you go to a bar, you're sitting at the bar and you once again are there for longer than just an order and a leave, a takeout, like you are for a cup of coffee. Most likely you're sitting at a bar for a while. And the bartender, just like your server at a restaurant, will come by and, are everything okay? Did you want something? You want me to? They will make some effort. But when you go to a, you know, like I said, if you go to a hot dog stand, or you go to an ice cream shop, or you go to a coffee shop, you make your order, you get it, and you leave. There's no time. The person's doing their job. They're not spending extra time with you. They're not serving you over a period of time. I think that's where the whole idea comes from. But apparently, the best part of this, so that's tipping. I understand the need for tipping at a restaurant. I don't believe that tip jar should be everywhere, at fast food places and everywhere, because I think that's part of the job. That's your job. If I order a cup of coffee, it's your job to ring it up and either make it or bring it to me, and then I'm gone. I'm done. And that's your job. What else is your job? What am I giving you extra because you smiled at me? That's not enough. As I said, people that work in restaurants or bartenders, yeah. You know, even you say in this article too, you know, cab drivers or Uber drivers, they don't even, you know, millennials are sometimes don't tip them at all either. I certainly give a cab driver a 20% tip, especially if they didn't drive crazy and they made it a nice ride, a pleasurable ride that got me there on time when I wasn't afraid for my life, or they didn't get lost, or they weren't playing the radio, or they weren't talking on their phone. They're doing a service. Yeah, they're driving me there, but it's how they're driving me there. It's how they're getting me there. That's part of the service of wanting me to come back. So I think there are times when you should tip, and are times I think we've gone a little tip crazy. But according to this story, millennials are kind of not help. Not only are they're kind of stingy, but they're also stingy with their own crowd. Most of the people that are serving them are their peers, and they're jipping their peers. Come on, gang. You got to stick together. I might not approve of everything or be hip or with the scene with the millennials, but you got to stick together, millennials. That's your goal. But once again, we are in a very individual kind of society there. So interesting to see that while the millennials enjoy going out and enjoy restauranting and bar hopping and pub crawling and stuff, it doesn't really pay. So clearly what the moral of this story is, when you walk into a restaurant, if you're not a millennial, say you're a baby boomer or a Generation X, the server's actually happy to see you. They don't want to see their peers because they know they're not going to get a good tip. So once again, I'm actually feeling better about myself now going out. When I walk in, I know that the server is actually probably happy to see me because they feel like, hey, if I do a good job, this person's going to tip me. If someone my own age comes in, I'm gonna probably work my butt off here and not even get a tip. Or if I do, I'm gonna get a below average tip. And think about today now in many electric checks, they even give you. They've already calculated the tip at the bottom. Do you ever see that? Here's 15%. Here's 18%. Here's 20%. They even do the math for you to encourage you to leave that tip. I always thought they were being nice, but now apparently it sounds, I wonder if that's there to remind you, especially maybe millennials, you do have to tip. Hello. All I could say is what we need is a little, you know, let's get together on this. You know what I mean? It's a social contract. You go to a restaurant, you tip. And 20% is easy to figure out, right? It's just if it's a $20 meal, you take the 10, right? And then you double it. What's 10% of 20? 2. 20% is 4. There you go. Done. Simple. Right? But sometimes it's right there for you. But come on, millennials. You're so cool. You're so hip. Oh, I just have a new phrase. If millennials, the only millennials who are really hip are the millennials who leave a tip. Yes. Now that should go viral. That should go viral. Any millennial who's really hip is a millennial who leaves a tip. And that ends episode 116 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Remember, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic is the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.